The following is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Global News Radio 640 Toronto.
There are lots of lousy businesses, and there's lots of wonderful businesses.
It's the art and science of money.
My job has been to try and figure out which is which.
It's Hi-Fi Radio from the Global News Radio studios in Toronto with Hi-Fi portfolio managers. Here's Wolfgang Klein and Jack Hartle.
Good evening, my friends. Thank you for spending some time with us. We're going to talk money. That's what the show is all about. It's September. Got to put our heads down, get a little more serious about life. The world's reopening. The economy is booming, as is the markets. I certainly hope you're wealthier. You better be wealthier. If you've been listening to Jack and I for some time now, you are wealthier. Right, Jack?
Absolutely, Wolf. It's been a long bull market, and we've participated with our clients for sure.
Yes, indeed. Amos Nadler, chief economist at Fabrique. Check this out. It's an interconnected system that can transform, hold, trade, and grow every asset you own, where everything is digital. That's so futuristic, Amos.
Mm-hmm. And you say it so nicely, Wolf. I think you'd be a great, great marketing person for Fabric.
Well, you never know. You know, life is an adventure. You know, this is my second rodeo, so to speak, and actually, it's my third rodeo. Who knows? Maybe I'll do a fourth in my day. But good for you, and thank you very much for joining us, Amos. Behavioral finance is a newer discipline when it comes to managing money. And I just read a great, and I say that because, of course, you were a professor of behavioral finance. That's how Jack and I became familiar with your work, and we gravitated towards your knowledge in the subject because it's a new science. And a great quote I picked up from Warren Buffett today was, if the markets were simply about history, everyone on Wall Street would be a librarian. But it's not. It's about people as much as it's about facts and figures and repetitive behavior. It's about people. And again, almost just put on your psych hat for a few minutes with me. I have to admit, I'm sure many of our listeners right now feel the same way as do I, that it's still very weird. We've gone through an 18-month shift of mindset. Albeit the economy remained intact, thanks to the central intervention of all those banks around the world flooding the system with money. It worked again, propped up the market. But, you know, the day-to-day living, you know, the amount of vaccinations required, having to show proof of vaccination to get into a restaurant, we're going to be legislated. And I just have the sense that, you know, we're getting set in our new ways, going back to our old ways. Is it doable? And what do you? How is this affecting people in from your perspective, almost? Again, thinking behavioral finance.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I love your quote that you started off with this idea that Wall Street would be a librarian. The reason why we can't use history as a perfect example of what's going to be moving forward is the same reason that disclaimers on investment vehicles say past performance is not an indication of future performance. And so when you think about people's adaptation to our current world, there isn't really a clear precedent for it. Like if you look at previous pandemics, technology wasn't in place. They weren't the ability to substitute services from, you know, online shopping to not shopping, these kinds of things. So I think that what you mentioned earlier is the intervention of central banks to help people feel more safe during this time, that they're not losing their homes, that even if their jobs are possibly going to be lost, that there's, you know, sufficient benefit. So there's been a whole lot done to reduce the financial stress associated with this uncertain time. The reopening has been in some places successful, in some places we're getting derailed by these variants. But I think people's baseline sense of safety, like that is, if you think of it from like a hierarchy of needs, like a Maslow hierarchy of needs, if people don't feel safe for food and shelter, it's very difficult to do anything else on top of that. And so the central banks even seem to understand that. They say, well, if people don't have food and shelter, well, then bad things start to happen. Unemployment, crime, domestic violence, drug abuse. Like they realize it's a pretty quick downhill slide from there. So even though there's a concern about inflation and these other problems, the banks take it a priority to meet at least those first one or two fundamental levels of people's existence to help them function on top of those levels.
You know, you spoke of Maslow, and I got quite excited. Again, I do have a degree in marketing, and that was the first thing that they taught us in marketing, plus in psychology. Maslow's hierarchy of needs continuously comes up in business teachings. I certainly hope it does, because it's important stuff, and it truly does describe how we as people prioritize the way we think. Yes, we have to be warm, we have to be safe, and so physiological needs come first, followed by safety needs. And I'm not sure where health fits in, but I'm going to say it fits in either between physiological and safety, somewhere in between. But you want to be fed, you want to feel safe, and then you can reach for love, and then esteem. And if you're one of the Elon Musks or Bill Gates of the world, you have self-actualized. May you all self-actualize. You know, I get philosophical, but why not? It's Saturday night. We can do that too, eh, almost.
Right.
So in terms of people changing habit, because technology has empowered us, habits have changed. What's your sense? Can we go back to our old ways readily, or what's your make of the psychology out there in terms of this reopening and going back in the downtown core next to people, hustle, bustle, crowds? Apparently Hong Kong is 90% back to full swing.
Yeah, the facts are there. There are places both in Asia, there are places in the United States that, you know, I've heard of friends in New York City, friends in Texas just say, yeah, we're back to normal. We're living our lives. We're giving friends hugs and going out to dinner. So there, you know, with sufficient vaccination, I think that can happen. As I said, there's some unknown variants. There's Delta, and there's a new one that just came out yesterday called Mu, which, you know, potentially could derail things. And so I'm not an epidemiologist. I would love to have one on the call to dig into this some other time. But I think people want to go back to normal. I think people feel much more optimistic once you reach a certain vaccination level. About 70% is what you need to hit as a minimum for to keep things under control. But what you're seeing is a huge acceleration of the substitution effect towards technology versus inaction. I said earlier, like if this was pre-technology, you would just, I don't know how you'd get your food these days. You just clickety-clack on your keyboard and somebody delivers it to your house. And so there's, I think, a sort of unseen problem that's happening right now. And I know we may discuss going back to school at some point on this call because that's happening. But people are relying on technology for a lot of things. And the problem, there's good and bad. The bad I'm going to focus on is reliance on like social media influencers for financial advice. I don't know if you guys have seen this, these like TikTok and Instagram people that are spouting off absolute nonsense, but these people are young or beautiful or whatever, and people listen and follow their advice. And so there's some risk associated with that. You know, it might be fun on the show sometime to like play one of them and critique it. And actually, that's my second favorite thing, is watching CPAs or lawyers or economists or, you know, other people like that actually comment in real time or, you know, kind of take apart what the people are saying, because there's no real public protection and those sorts of things. So yeah, I think people want to get back to normal and talk to real people, but for now we're using technology as a substitute, and some of those substitutes are very bad.
That's very interesting speak, Amos. I'm up against my son right now, who worked very hard this summer. He's 17, we went off to university, but he worked very hard this summer, saved some money, and said, Dad, I want to trade myself. I said, fine, we'll do a little side account for you. And I don't know, I would rarely let a client do this, but it's my son, and you know, is a buyer beware, carpe diem, is it carpe diem? A caveat emptor, caveat emptor, caveat emptor, yeah. So off he trades, but he's trading through Jack and I, and he's actually a high maintenance, pain in the buck client. I would never take him, driving us crazy. Dad, I want 8 shares of Force Entertainment. Of what? 8 shares? Okay. Jack, would you please fill that order? But he actually wants to do it himself. And I was just interviewed by Wealth Professional Magazine speaking about fees, and if fees have become an issue during the pandemic. And I said, that's the last thing on people's minds during the pandemic. They want to make sure that they've been looked after, that there's a strategy, that they can sleep at night. And if you deliver, which we have, there is no discussion around fees, because if you deliver value, there's no problem having someone pay for the value. They're happy to pay for value. Which takes me to my next point. Yes, some people are inclined to use technology to do certain things. But for the most part, when it comes to money management, what Jack and I have learned, and Jack, you pipe in here, please, people don't want to do it themselves. No different than I'm renovating a home right now. I don't want to lift up a hammer. I don't want to lift up a broom. But I'll tell you one thing, my friend, I am teaching my son how to use a broom. If they can use an app, you can use a broom, boys and girls. Jack, I'm going to give you 60 seconds before we go to break.
Yeah, a lot of the time we see that, Wolf. And the fact is that people don't want to manage a significant portion of their money. But what I do see from time to time is they say, you know what, you can deal with my retirement savings. I want to deal with a small portion of my TFSA. The question that I have to them at that point is, how much time do you want to devote to this small portion of your assets? If it's a hobby, that's fine. But really, I would just leave it to the experts.
Yeah, or have the experts execute the odd one-off trade, but keep a consolidated. Again, it's incredible how, you know, we have these long-standing clients, Jack. And after 20 years, all of a sudden, out of the closet comes a $48,000 TFSA. What was that doing over there? And again, the average TFSA that Jack and I are sitting on is hovering at just over $100,000 is what it is. But yeah, you find someone you love and you consolidate it. Have one partner in life, my good friends, not two. Same with a money manager. Just got to make sure it's the right team. It's Hi-Fi Radio, Global News 640 in Toronto. Having so much fun with you all today. Thank you very much for joining in. We're going to do a quick commercial break. Get right back to Amos Nader, chief economist, futurist, brilliant man. And an expert in behavioral finance. You are your own worst enemy. He's going to help us get through and navigate these turbulent times. As always, stay tuned.
Money. Let's take a break. But after, Wolf and Jack will continue their in-depth discussion about money. You're listening to Hi-Fi Radio from Global News Radio 640 Toronto.
You are listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Global News Radio 640 Toronto.
We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom.
You know, they might have to rewrite that. Sending your kid off to school. Technology. Parents, leave your kids alone. How about that? Yeah, a little bit of a new theme going on. The parachute parent continues to follow and pay attention a little too closely, perhaps, to their own boys and girls who are heading off to university. So much so, I heard of one parent who hacked into their child's email and changed their roommate, as they didn't like the roommate that their child has chosen. They changed the roommate, unbeknownst to the child. then basically, I don't know if the child actually went back to the university. I think they did. So my mom hacked into my email. Yeah, I want to stick with my existing setup. But there's a piece of the Wall Street Journal about that. Amos Nadler, chief economist at Fred Brieck, is also a behavioral finance expert. Jack Hartle, of course, on the show, producer of the show. Jack, you're a dad. Your children in a few years will be off to university. We're sending our son off to university, as a matter of fact, this weekend, driving off to Western, where Amos Nadler used to be a professor of behavioral finance. But the story basically in the Wall Street Journal was speaking about parents, you know, following and monitoring their child's behavior way too much, and that they have to basically cut the tie when the child turns 17, 18, heads off to university. But some parents can't cut the tie. You know, technology can be so good and helpful, but boy, it can cause issues. Jack and Amos, please, I want you guys to quickly speak to that.
Well, it certainly can. And like you said, Wolf, control that parents have over their kids through technology is significant. And the fact that, you know, giving your kids some freedom while they're at home I think is a good idea, just for the fact that once they go off to university and they do have to stand on their own 2 feet, they're going to have a lot of flexibility and freedom. And, you know, even if you do have that technology, you really can't track what they're up to. So give them a little bit of freedom, let them fail a little bit so that they understand what failure is like. And then that'll allow them to succeed, I think.
Failure is good. Amos?
I agree.
Yeah, love that. Hey, see, there, sorry, I got to jump in here. See, now there is the doctor, right? Let me think about it. That's a sign of intelligence.
You know, I just want to hear what Jack had to say, and like trying to incorporate into my response. So I agree that like tech is a double-edged sword in the sense of that, yes, it allows you to monitor, but it gives kids access to things that we growing up did not have access to. So just like most things, double-edged sword. I mean, me as like a basically unsupervised child in the 80s, if my mom had any idea the things that I was doing as a child or in high school, like she's probably not listening to the show, but I'll say we did do like drag racing and all sorts of things that are very illegal in California as 15, 16 year olds. And you could pick that up on a cell phone. So I think it's good that we don't know what our kids are doing. It's probably true for your teenage boys. If you guys knew everything they're doing, I don't think you'd sleep at night, because I know you two are rascals yourselves and probably did things that your parents would be worried about. So I think ignorance may be bliss to some extent, and technology might show all the things that would have occurred anyway, but now we know about it. So that's the first thing that jumps to mind.
You know, ignorance truly can be bliss in so many aspects of life. And again, when you're going through change in life, often the fact that you don't know the challenges that are in front of you is a good thing. It causes you to do the most important thing in life, is taking the first step. If you see a person that you're attracted to, take the first step and say, hey, you want to go out? You know, not so easy, but you got to take the first step, and you got to be prepared for some shortfall where you get, you know, a little bit of rejection. But it's, you know, got to get up to bat. It's a numbers game. Life is a numbers game. Likewise with investing. You got to get up to bat. You got to begin, and you got to start investing. And yeah, you'll have some bumps along the way. But the name of the game is to get up to bat and participate. It's just an incredible time. It truly, truly is an incredible time. Change is like right here in front of us, and we're all living through this period of change. It's exciting. It can be daunting. The amount of new tech coming at us is mind-boggling. But the winners will succeed, and those that don't succeed will go by the wayside. I'm talking about tech itself. Market-wise, the NASDAQ continues to power higher. High valuation stocks continue to attract attention, and the value trade continues to work. So Amos, you're an economist. Let's talk markets. We're heading into the fall. We're in this historic liquidity-driven bull market. Everyone is a winner, winner, chicken dinner. Thoughts on the fall?
We're on the commodity side. We're seeing rising prices there. We're seeing things happening partly from supply chain disruptions and possibly some decisions being made to exacerbate some of the supply chain issues and to drive higher prices, which is causing the boogeyman of inflation to wake up. As you mentioned, this being buoyed by central bank dollars makes inflation much more likely. And we're seeing that. We're seeing that happening in a few different ways. Even junk bonds that hit, this is crazy, hit a zero yield, real yield. And if things don't change going into the fall, you know, in the commodity space specifically, I think there's going to be some issues on yields, and the central bank may need to start making some different decisions if the inflation surprises continue.
That is certainly a concern. And I speak every week about the home renovation I'm experiencing. Nails for a nail gun. They're about $120 for a case, up 100% in price going forward. They doubled in price just this week. If you're interested in nails for a nail gun, well, there may be some old inventory you can pick up off the shelf. Get it now. Jack is waiting for plywood prices to fall. Jack, I think plywood prices continue to go higher. So I think, you know, if I have a few sheets left over, they're not going in my bin. No, they're going to go at the end of my drawer. I'm going to actually put them on Kijiji and maybe see if I get $60 a board, eh? Indeed. In the world then of crypto, again, your company is focusing on everything digital. Speak to us about crypto. What are the newest developments that are on your radar?
Beyond the kind of traditional stuff of, oh, Bitcoin price, Ethereum price, I mean, that's, people tend to really get kind of glued into that, which I think is interesting because there's this hyper-focus on BTC and on Ethereum, but there are much better platforms. There's much better technology happening in the other, you know, other projects, and they don't get as much attention. And so if you are invested in that space, I think it's important to do your due diligence. I'm not saying due diligence is easy in that space because most people aren't really experienced or qualified to assess the true investability of the asset. So that's one challenge. The other is regulation. You know, the regulators are kind of circling around and looking to further regulate the assets. Presently, they're not considered securities, so they're not regulated by the SEC, for example. The spot market is not regulated, but the futures market is. So, you know, the market keeps evolving by providing people access. So if you want to put in a retirement account, there's a fund, there's a Canadian fund that you can buy if you're interested in it. But it goes back down to the fundamentals. It all comes back down to the conversation, the same conversations that you guys would have with Wolf and Jack about what's the allocation and thinking about the risk reward. And so in the crypto space, there's going to be major, major losers. There's going to be, you know, big surprises. I don't want to go into too much detail there, but there's also going to be good surprises where things are going to be appreciating. But when you build a portfolio, you have to think about the fundamentals of portfolio management. Does it serve the cash needs of the individual in their particular point in life? So I'm not saying there's no space for crypto. Absolutely, there could be, especially if you did it 10 years ago, you would be in a very good place, even with a 1% allocation. But moving forward, it doesn't mean it's going to have that same performance. So you really got to slow down and do a deeper search using tools that you may not even have ever used before, looking at things like on-chain metrics and things that are much more complicated to your average investor.
Jack?
Yeah, it's a new space. It's a volatile space, Wolf, obviously. I think that almost made an exceptionally strong point there. You know, you need to do your due diligence. And I think a lot of investors in that space, a lot of speculators in that space, they really don't understand what they're doing just because it is so new. And you often see that in new markets. You saw that in the rails back in the 1800s, early 1900s, you know, boom bust when a new type of technology gets investable. You saw it at the Nifty 50 back in the 70s. You saw it with technology in 2000s. And now you're seeing it with the crypto space. So new technology is exciting. There's opportunity there, but often a lot of those types of technologies or asset classes, securities within that asset class tend to fail, unfortunately. But there are going to be some significant winners over time, I would expect.
Yeah, no doubt, winners and losers. Amos, let's speak on a midterm basis. As an economist, with the amount of money that has been printed globally, for the Python to digest this is going to take time. I use that word digest because our chief strategist, Tony Dwyer, has been referring to this market strength of the last 18 months. Analogous to a snake swallowing a calf, baby calf. It takes time to digest that. So he was calling this 2021 the summer of indigestion, and saying at some point the market has to basically make a directional change up or down. And there's not enough indicators that are giving him confidence in making that directional call. And so therefore Tony Dwyer's comment is continue to maintain your current position, do nothing, in other words, which is really what we have done for the last 3 months. Doing nothing, ladies and gentlemen, can often be, and in my opinion, very much is doing something. And Warren Buffett certainly would attest to that all day long. So again, Amos, what's your call? When do you think it's going to be time to do something?
I think it's sectoral. Like, for example, there are sectors that are going to actually quite outperform. There are sectors that are going to underperform. You've seen that bifurcation from the very beginning of the pandemic. And so moving forward, if you're talking about in aggregate, yeah, like you can sit on your hands if you have a diversified portfolio that can weather, you know, the uncertainty. But if you're highly concentrated in a particular sector that may not be recovering as quickly as you think or is still vulnerable, you could think about, you know, transportation or other areas that could be derailed by some if you're thinking about Delta or Mu or some other variant, that's part of the structure. Now, you have to be a real specialist in that area to understand how vulnerable it is to those things. And so diversification is kind of your friend here. But yeah, and I wouldn't recommend some major action if you are well diversified. If you're concentrated in vulnerable sectors, you may want to dig a little deeper, have some conversations with you guys about that.
We're speaking with Amos Nadler. He's the chief economist at Fabrique, also a behavioral finance expert. We're going to take a quick break. It is Hi-Fi Radio, Global News 640 in Toronto.
Don't go anywhere. There's more great show after this. You're listening to Hi-Fi Radio from Global News Radio 640 Toronto.
You are listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Global News Radio 640 Toronto.
Feeling all right? Well done, Sophia. Producer, cueing that tune up. Great documentary on drummers on Netflix, just released. It must have been a minute after the gracious Charlie Watts passed away. It's called Count Me In. Watch it. It's amazing. If you like music, which I'm sure you do, Count Me In on Netflix about drummers. It's just so cool. And I share that with you because the world of money, the world of building wealth, don't miss a beat. Sorry for the cliche, but don't miss a beat. Just continue along. Work, save, invest. Do that, my friends, for 20 years and you will be rich. Obviously, a dollar or two a month is enough. No, you got to make it count. You know, 10 or 15% of your earnings, save it. I'm not the first person to tell you this. It's the wealthy barber speak, but I want you to be rich. You can be rich. I'm not Tom Vu. No, no boats, no yachts, no beautiful girls, just my beautiful family. Common sense stuff. This is not complicated. It's actually, it's simple. It may not be easy, but it's simple. Count Me In. It's the name of the drummer show. I want you to be counted in when it comes to wealth. Stay tuned to the show. Jack and I will guide you. Any questions, by the way, for Jack or I? WolfgangKlein.com, The Wolf on Bay Street. That's where you can find us. Reach out. We're here for you. Each and every one of you. No question too big, no question too small. We serve them all. We got a great show continuing. Amos Nadler, he's chief economist at a company called Fabrique, where everything is digital. Amos is an economist. He's also an expert in behavioral finance. You, my friend, or we have found the enemy, and it is I. So we want to keep ourselves from ourselves. That's what the show is all about, to help you build wealth. You have to be courageous every now and then. Lean into the market. Hey, indeed, Amos. You were speaking earlier about risk and about time for change. Again, if you have a balanced portfolio, you needn't change. If you are very one-sided in your money management approach, I would never advise that. Yes, it always is a good time to change. Balance is safer, it's smarter, it's more sustainable as far as I'm concerned. Concentrated bets, good for Elon Musk, but you know, most of us are not that individual. But you know, something, again, the beauty, Jen, again, just speaking out loud here, gentlemen, the beauty that we have as people living in a wonderful free society is that we can all of a sudden become Elon Musk's partner. We can become Bill Gates' partner, correct? We can buy a piece of their business and participate. And it's incredible. There's such smart people on Wall Street, and this, Wall Street receives some disdain. You know the saying, if you can't beat them, join them. And indeed, you know, a company that we own, a company called Blackstone, they're private equity managers, some of the smartest minds on Wall Street. If you want to stay here in Canada, Brookfield Asset Management, some of the Spruce Flats, some of the smartest entrepreneurs and businessmen in Canada. You can be partners with these individuals. And how do you know? Well, take a look, do some homework and find out, you know, how much do they own of the company? Are they a big or small shareholder? If they're a big shareholder, hey, guess what? You have confidence. And again, is it your job? Do you have the time to delve into those details? I think not. And that's where the expertise of advice comes in. Competent individuals look for things like that to help build and create an edge for themselves when they are investing other people's money. Part of what we do. Again, the most important thing, there's so many of them in this world, but is to have an open mind and continuously learn. That's why we like to have Amos Nadler on the show frequently, because he's a very, very smart man. He was a professor, after all. It's time to get back into some, I guess, academia. September is, well, here we are, the month of September. So Amos, please, the overall sentiment that you're feeling on Wall Street and on Main Street, do you think it's extreme giddiness? Do you think there's still some despair? Hence opportunity for further upside?
I think that what you're seeing on Wall Street, I mean, the main kind of bifurcation between Main Street and Wall Street, there's two main things. One is going to be expertise and sort of, you could say, arsenal. Like, Wall Street has significant expertise in what they're doing, and they have arsenal technology and knowledge to execute on that expertise. And then while you have Main Street, you have people who delegate some of that, or most of the decision making to experts like yourselves, or, you know, they might take a passive strategy. And so they know there's always going to be an asymmetry between those things. And so I think the sentiment that we're seeing on Wall Street, from what I've seen in some of the leading indicators, is a lot of place to play in the commodity space. And there is a number of kind of high leverage bets that are being taken in that space. I think in Main Street, I think there's a lot of optimism. I think the people are believing that the world will, as we talked about earlier, come back into normal. And with normality, there's this assumption of lower volatility, at least coming from the pandemic. So I think overall there's optimism, and I think that there's reason to believe that there'll be more normalcy. That is contingent upon adoption of adoption of the policy of getting vaccinated and making sure that, for example, Mu doesn't become a worldwide threat. So with that in place, I think that overall we're in good shape, and we can return to a semi-normal space with some of the scars and differences and patterns that occurred during the kind of the craziness of the pandemic.
Well, at some point we will have to change our beat. It is what life is all about, my good friends. It's about change. It's about evolution. It's about progress and moving forward. Going forward with a strategy that has proven the test of time, it's one of simplicity. I repeat, it's one of simplicity. Quality assets, long-term thinking, continuous investment is how you build wealth. Keeping your mind open, taking in new information, but understanding that some things just don't change. Jack, always, when we spoke about the Atkins diet, hey, Jack, what was your comment about the Atkins diet and about people's changing habits?
Well, that was around 2000 or so when the Atkins diet was taking a bite out of the Big Mac, and they were saying that no one wanted to go to McDonald's, but, you know, people still like those cheeseburgers and Big Macs, Wolf.
Oh, God, used to laugh, eh, when you used to take your little hockey trips and your road trips with your buddies, and you had about 6 cheeseburgers on the dashboard, Jack. Lined up to
eat. At least cheeseburgers, keeping them warm on the dashboard, and a few fries, just like Amos was saying. If our parents could only see us back then, they'd just shake their heads.
Ignorance is bliss, my good friends. You know, Rip Van Winkle made a lot of money, bought some quality assets, put his head in the sand, woke up 10 years later and was a rich man. I think that's how the story goes. And if not, well, I can fabricate every now and then too. Sci-Fi Radio, Amos Nadler, a real pleasure. I want to wish you a safe weekend, my good friends. Welcome to September. May you continuously prosper and continuously educate our listeners, Jack and I. It's a real treat. Stay tuned, my good friends. We're going to have a little financial planning tune-up with our in-house financial planner, Lara, right here on Hi-Fi Radio.
Listen, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, more money talk. You're listening to Hi-Fi Radio from Global News Radio 640 Toronto.
You are listening to a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Global News Radio 640 Toronto.
Safe and wild, safe and bold. If I-
Hi-Fi Radio, show about money. I am Wolfgang Klein, portfolio manager. Jack Hartle, portfolio manager, partner, also producer of the show, lines up the guests. Jack, you have to get us an epidemiologist on, according to NAMO, so put that on your list, please. Line up an epidemiologist so we can learn more about the variants coming at us and the market impact, perhaps. Laura Bourbadakis is on the line. She is our wealth and estate planning specialist. Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management, of course. Laura, thank you for spending some time with us. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. I must say I'm delighted that when Jack and I sit down with a client, there's a few things we insist that they do. Of course, max out an RSP, and also as soon as possible, begin putting money aside for secondary education. Little bite-sized pieces, steal from grandmas, steal from brothers and sisters when they give those birthday gifts, put in the RSP, get yourself some government grant of 20%, invest the money with a 15-year time horizon, which means you don't need to be in GICs. You can buy yourself some quality blue chip companies, blue chip mutual funds, ETFs, grow the wealth, compound it over 15 years, and whammo, you should have, you know, if you max out, you should have $100,000, give or take, per child, I believe. My son is off to Western, and it's about $25,000 a year in year one. He's not getting a credit card, by the way. Good golly, that'd be dangerous as far as I'm concerned. I don't know how we're going to fund his account, but we'll have to deal with that later. But yeah, $25,000. So we planned. It's not going to be an issue for us. But Laura, you, when sitting in front of clients, how serious do you find people are about beginning early and putting money aside for education savings when you speak them about their financial plan, and how diligent and attentive are they to doing that? Because if they do it, there'll be enough money.
Yeah, so usually when I get a young couple, a couple that's expecting to have a baby soon, it is definitely part of the conversation that I like to bring up, and I give them all the advantages that they get that extra 20% from the government, and it's a good way for them to save money. Most of the time, they're quite receptive to it. And what's also interesting, like you said, Wolfgang, is that it's not just the parents that can contribute. It could be the grandparents that can put money into it, and a nice aunt, an uncle. So it's a nice way to build that education nest egg in a sense. And I do see that there's a lot of interest in that.
Now, Jack, this is again where expertise from yourself and from Zach are. Junior partner, I shall say, at the Wolf on Bay Street, come into play. Withdrawing money from an RESP has a number of nuances to it, and there are better ways to take the money out and not so good ways of taking the money out when the time comes. And again, this is where the guidance, and there's no charge, is all part of the service that we provide to our clients and giving them such advice. So, Jack, why don't you share for free with the listener right now, the smartest way to take money out of an RESP. Say, let's say there's $100,000 in there. Johnny and Jane are off to school. How does it work, and what's the best way to do it? Because you don't just withdraw money. There's a number of decisions that need to be made.
Right. Well, there's really, you know, three buckets within the RESP. So there's the principal, the money that you put in. There's the grant money, the money that the government matched you with the 20%. And then the growth over time. And like you said, if you invest in a, you know, high quality baskets, that growth portion is going to be quite significant as well. So the fact is, when you start taking money out of an education plan, so an RESP, there are some limitations on how much education assistance payment that you can take. So basically you need proof of enrollment and then to sign some documentation to withdraw that way. And when you start withdrawing from a RESP, you really want to focus on the grant and the growth first, because it is taxed in your children's hands. And when they're going to university, they're not really taxed at all. But the fact is, if you don't take it out and they're done their education, you actually have to give back the grant portion. So it's quite significant. So you really want to focus on that growth and grant first. And then at the end, you can take out your own principal.
Yeah, Bang, I don't think people really appreciate that. And again, Kathleen is working with the team right now and taking the money out for Elliot. And again, she finds it quite complicated, and it is complicated because people don't think about these things. And if they do it incorrectly, they could be in for a nasty surprise down the road whereby the government gets some of the money back or becomes more taxable. Good guidance, good advice counts with something like this. Laura, I want to share with you something else. You're going to know firsthand what I'm talking about. This is very, very important. Just some minutia that it may affect one of our listeners right here, right now. So be aware. Going through the medical process, I'm pivoting to a different direction, but it's all part of financial planning, is again, looking to the tool of life insurance. Life insurance is a financial tool that is appropriate for many people and not appropriate or not necessary for other people. No case is identical. Everything is tailor fit when it comes to money management. But life insurance, perhaps someone has a need and or want for life insurance. An underwriting process has to occur. Medical questionnaire must be answered, and a physical must occur as well, whereby a nurse comes to your home, takes your blood pressure, your heart rate, draws some blood, and off they go. I had a very incredible conversation with a client who was very upset with themselves because they didn't listen to the, insurance company and or underwriter or wholesaler with the instructions as to when the nurse is coming to your house, that you must fast and don't do anything out of the ordinary. So what happened was a friend of mine forgot to fast and had a big breakfast, decided to be more fit, and in the last minute get on the treadmill, worked the heart rate up, dropped the heart rate back down, then drank 6 glasses of water to rehydrate, took a shower, washed up, a little cologne, nicey nice for the nurse. And the nurse began asking questions. Did you fast? No. Have you taken your heart rate up recently? Well, yeah, 20 minutes ago. Did you have more than 1 glass of water? Well, I had 6. Screwed the whole process up. Felt really bad about the situation, because that can affect the levels in your blood when they're doing the readings, which could cause them to deny you an application. So, Laura, please, I want you to speak to that. What are people supposed to do if the nurse is about to show up, and what should they not do?
Well, it is case by case, but yes. So usually the nurse will call and they will give you instructions of what to do. You should try and be as calm as possible, not do exercise before. It's quite a relaxing experience, really. There's going to be some questions that are going to be asked, so you just answer them truthfully. And make sure that you don't drink alcohol or definitely no marijuana or anything like that before any of these tests. Follow the instructions.
Well, there is something called the pre-underwriting phase, and I want to speak to you, Laura, and our listeners about that. Don't have enough time for this show, so we're going to bring Laura Bourbadakis back on the show, our wealth and estate planning specialist at Canaccord. Very holistic, sound planning advice that can pay huge dividends down the road. Not complicated, simple, but not necessarily easy. That's where you need a team to help you through it. That's what we are all about here at the Wolf and Bay Street. Jack Hartle, great job as always, Laura Bourbadakis. I appreciate your time. I want to wish you, friends at home, a great weekend. Welcome to September. It's going to be great. More show each and every Saturday right here on the Global News Radio 640 in Toronto.
You've been listening to Hi-Fi Radio with Wolfgang Klein and Jack Hartle, portfolio managers at Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management. For questions about today's show or any money questions you need answered, email Wolf and Jack at wolfgangklein.com. Hi-Fi Radio, for the love of money. We'll see you next week.
The preceding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of Global News Radio 640 Toronto.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.